This morning I want to consider the mind and how the mind plays into our Christian journey. You notice both of our readings today mention the mind, particularly Paul. Paul says to the Philippians and to us, be of the same mind, be of one mind. Now, I should probably pause to point out, when Paul says mind, we might hear, you know, brain or rational, you know, place where we think rational thoughts and where our, or irrational thoughts, I guess, the place where our thoughts come from. But Paul is writing long before the philosopher Descartes first proposed the split between the mind and the body. And so Paul is talking about something much richer and deeper than just the brain when he says mind. When Paul says mind, he's really talking about heart, soul, attitude, our perspective, really our motivation, what motivates us to act. Really, when Paul says mind, we might hear mindset. What is it that leads you to act? That's what he's talking about. Not just brain here, but what propels us to action? What is our mindset? That's why when he says, let the same mind be in you that's in each other, be of one mind, he's not saying we all need to think alike. That's probably not going to happen. We all have our different thoughts and opinions about all sorts of things. That's not what Paul is telling us. But he is saying, be of one attitude. Let there be one motivation among you that leads you to act. That's what he's saying when he says, be of the same mind together. And be of one mind. And then he doesn't leave us guessing about whose mindset we're supposed to follow. He says then, and let the same mind be in you. Remember, all of us of one mind. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let your mindset, your motivation, your attitude be the attitude of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Paul goes on to tell us. He quotes from what is probably a familiar hymn of his time about Christ, who though he was of the form of God, did not take equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, humbled himself, was obedient even to the cross. That's the attitude, the mindset we are to have. And I think Paul lays out two essential qualifications, humility and obedience. And these two are really linked in very essential ways. To be humble is not to be a doormat for others to walk on, but to be humble is to say, in essence, there is a God and it's not me. There are some people in this world, I think, who have not realized that. There are people in this world who seem to think they are God, or at least act like they think they are God. But Paul is saying, be humble like Christ, who though he was God, didn't act like it. Instead was a servant. But also, if you are humble and realize there is a God and it's not me, then you also are to say, and I want to do what God wants. Follow God's will, not always my own. That's obedience, humility and obedience. Now, these are two qualities that are clearly lacking in the religious leaders who are confronting Jesus in Matthew's gospel again and again and again. They keep trying to trick him. So they come to him and say, by whose authority are you doing and saying all of these things? And Jesus, as he often does, is way ahead of them. And he says, well, before I answer that, let me ask you a question. By whose authority did John the Baptist preach and baptize? Because what he's really saying is, John and I share the same authority. Well, the religious leaders gather in a little huddle, you know, and start doing their calculations. And this is one clear sign, I think, that you are not putting on the mind of Christ, which is calculating. How is this going to look? The Pharisees aren't concerned about truth. They just want to look good. So they're calculating. What should we say to make ourselves look good? If we say John preached with the authority of God, then we're going to get in trouble because we didn't believe him. But if we say his authority was human, the crowds are going to get upset because they believe it was from God. So the Pharisees end up saying, "We don't know," which is maybe the most honest thing the Pharisees ever said, except that they don't know it. They think they know, but they don't want to say. And Jesus says, "Well, then I'm not going to answer your question either." But he says, "I'm going to tell you a parable, a story. There was a father who had two sons, and he asked them both to go work in his vineyard. And the first son said, 'No way, Dad, I got better things to do.' But then changed his mind and went. The second son said, 'Oh, you bet, Dad, I'll be right on that.' But never went. Which of them did the father's will?" And even the Pharisees can't get out of the obvious answer there. The first son. The son who changed his mind. Isn't that interesting? We're back to the mind. The first son said, "I'm not going to go," but then changed his mind. Or as the story of the prodigal son says it, he came to himself, realized he needed to be corrected, turned around, might even say repented, and went and did God's work. Because the father here is clearly God making this request. Notice, he changed his mind. Realized he was wrong, showed humility and obedience. Whereas the second son, notice, Jesus doesn't say the second son intended to go and then changed his mind. The second son just blatantly lied to his father. "Sure, I'll go," with no intention of getting anywhere near that vineyard. So perhaps we've discovered a third element in the mindset of Christ: humility, obedience, and being willing to change your mind. I think one of the gravest problems in our modern world is rigid certainty. People who can't even imagine that they might be wrong. I think it gets back to, again, thinking you're God. I know this answer because I've believed it all my life. But in our parable, the good son changes his mind, realizes he's wrong, and says, "God's will is something different. I'm going to follow God and change my mind." So maybe there's a third element of the mindset of Christ, being open-minded. Open to be corrected, knowing that you may not know as much as you think you know. Oh, I wish Duke were here to hear me say that again, since he always reminds us of that. Put on the mind of Christ, Paul says, as individuals, as a community of faith. Make sure in all that you do, you are striving for humility, obedience, and you are willing to be changed. So there's your spiritual homework for the week. You may still be working on forgiveness and grumbling, but add to it for this week: putting on the mind of Christ more and more. Trying to be humble, obedient, and realizing every once in a while, you might be wrong, and let God turn you around. Christ did all those things. Perhaps we should try as well. Amen.